I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. Second hour is underway on G&D here on The Fan. I should let you guys know Gil Brandt, who is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, will be on the show at 12:45. He is a legend in this business.
There goes a Hall of Famer.
We have not had him on the show before, so that'll be very cool coming up at the end of next hour. Make sure you are tuned in. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter, covering the team day in and day out in Ashburn. Craig, injured reserve, took a couple more hits yesterday. The Redskins, I guess with just 2 weeks left, shutting a few players down. Give us the latest.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is Brandon Sheriff, because he might be done here. And I don't know if everybody realizes that, because he is on the fifth-year option. He's on that fifth and final year of his contract. And I don't know how intent he is on staying, just because if he was, you feel like a contract would have been done by now. You know the Redskins want him. There's been some reports along the way that they've lowballed him a little bit. But those kinds of things can be overcome if it's like, no, like, we're not signing that. But how about this counteroffer? No, that's too much. How about this? Blah, blah, blah. You go back and forth, and eventually you get a deal done. But it's been dead stone cold silent on the Brandon Sheriff front. And so to see him go to IR and think, man, is this it? Is certainly interesting. And I think depending on who the new head coach is, depending on if Bruce is here or not, all that stuff matters in terms of the desire to re-sign him, because he is incredible. In no way should you not consider re-signing Brandon Sheriff because you don't think he's good, even though I think this was a down year for him. This was not a great contract year for him by his standards, which are quite lofty. But he did make the Pro Bowl. Reputation probably helps at guard, if we're being honest. And then it just depends on, like, if you want a mobile run scheme, Brandon Sheriff is a must re-sign. If you want to just go downhill all the time and you don't need a right guard who can pull and get out in space as much, then maybe you roll forward with Ereck Flowers at left guard and Wes Martin at right guard, and you save money and spend that money elsewhere.
How did Wes Martin fare? Seemed to me, going up against Fletcher Cox a lot, I thought he handled himself pretty well. There was that one hold, but man, everybody's going to do that against Cox. He's a baller. I felt like Wes Martin handled himself pretty well.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get through all the tape yet, but he, I mean, obviously statistically they had as good of an offensive day as they had all year, and a part of that was the protection, which didn't give up a sack until the very last play in the game. There was one, I think, earlier in the game that got called back via penalty. There might have been a second in that same scenario, but the one that I'm thinking of earlier in the game wasn't on Martin. It was a Morgan Moses miss. So overall, I think Martin did pretty well. You know, I got to get into the tape to see how he did as a run blocker and all that kind of stuff. But I know that Callahan was really pleased with how his O-line played. And, you know, Wes showed well earlier this year when he played as well. So he's had a good season in the very limited time that he's had, even though, you know, he is stuck behind two other players, which always tells you a little bit. If he was their best option, he'd be playing.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter for our Redskins beat reporter, was there more of a Kevin O'Connell influence this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was – I couldn't believe Callahan was like, yeah, that was – you know, I sat down with Kevin. I told him, I was like, nah, if you did, it was things he'd been telling you for weeks, because this is how I know from 3 years of covering the guy how Kevin thinks about offense. They were unpredictable. And Kevin has a phrase that I love, and it might be my favorite phrase going on how to describe offense. And I've run it by some of the defensive guys in the Redskins too, and they're like, yeah, when offenses do this, it's terrible. And the phrase that Kevin uses is easy for us, hard for them. So can we run the same types of things that make life really easy for us and our players, especially right now when they've got so many young players? As Callahan pointed out on Monday, 9 players that played of the 22 regulars on Sunday were first or second year players. That's an insanely high number. So if they can make it where it's easy for those guys, but it is difficult for the defense to figure out who is where, what they're doing, because they're running the same stuff from different places. And even if it's the same 5 things, you don't know which of those 5 are coming. Then you're going to be successful. And that's what they did. He was able to design stuff where Dwayne was consistently able to hit his first read, which means they're getting the first read open. That means it's a well-called game because you're predicting what kind of coverages the Eagles were going to play, and you were right. You put routes in that said, all right, if you're playing cover 3, the hole's going to be here. Let's make sure we have a slant and a guy's going to be open in this area, or whatever the correct answers to that defense are. So I thought there was a huge O'Connell influence on Sunday. You know, I don't – it's impossible to know how much credit Callahan deserves or doesn't for allowing that to happen. But, yes, that was a Kevin O'Connell game plan, and it was pretty distinct.
Greg Hoffman with the Sierra Grant and Danny. Craig, how much have you seen of these – everybody's looking for something. We all want news on the Bruce Allen front. How much have you seen and how much are you buying into the – well, like, you know, he didn't text Dan back, or, you know, he and Dan aren't walking hand in hand out to the field anymore. And then in this meeting, they took different cars. Is that just nothing, much to do about nothing, or is it actually sort of a theme that you're seeing develop?
Yeah, I don't think it's a death sentence for Bruce, but it's definitely,
but it's
not
noticeable?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, because these guys were super connected at all times. They were always together. You know, we, in our childish ways of being around a team all season and trying to entertain ourselves when the team itself is not that entertaining, would talk about, like, oh, we should just take a picture of them and put it on Twitter and see the replies. And it's you know, throwing fish in a shark tank or bait in a shark tank, because obviously Twitter is where everybody goes for positive reinforcement, and especially those two. So, you know, Dan, and we could have done it every day. Dan and Bruce were always at practice together. They're always in games together pregame. It's important to note that Bruce not being in Dan's box during the game is not a thing to note, because Bruce is always in the coach's box during the game, because, your reminder, he's in charge of the replays.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah, still doing
that. I thought
that
was old.
No, still.
Are you positive about that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought that was a couple years ago that he stopped doing that.
I thought he gave that up.
No. Remember, he has all the power now.
He's in charge of replays.
No, but hold on. But you're kind of doing a bit. Like, you're 100% serious. Bruce Allen is still in charge of their review. I literally thought that was not the case anymore.
No, Bruce is in charge of whether or not they're.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
So he sits.
How did we
not?
We did 4 hours yesterday. That didn't come up. We got to redo the show.
Another 4.
We have to redo the whole show.
Oh, my God.
You might not want to wait 10 years, though, because they're not walking together to practice anymore.
That's true. But we might get to wait 10 years. We don't know.
We don't know. But yeah, so I don't think it's a death sentence. I don't think it means that Dan's decided. I do think there is more separation between them than there has been, which is obviously not a great sign for Bruce. So I don't want to put it any more strongly than that.
God, I cannot believe that. He's still doing the challenges?
All right, throw the flag.
I can't believe you guys didn't do that yesterday.
I know.
Well, by the way, great show
honestly,
yesterday.
If someone would have asked me, I'd have said, oh, yeah, that was a hilarious thing that happened a couple years ago where he was the guy that was in charge of the reviews. But I thought that was long over with by now.
Who'd you think did it now?
I'm just assuming that they have, like every other team.
Some quality control coach.
Just some guy.
Yeah, just dudes upstairs that sit there with a headset on that decide it.
Nope, I do believe that Bruce Allen's still in charge of replay, because I feel like there was some controversial, like, why did they challenge that thing that happened in the Callahan era, and we confirmed, like, Bruce still is on the headset with that, right? And he's like, yeah.
Can you ask Callahan how exactly that all works?
I'll see if I can. I don't know if I want to ask that in a press conference.
Oh,
I don't know how that would go.
Oh, man.
But I will see if I can do a little digging and find the process.
When you find out. You have the number.
I know how to get a hold of us. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. See you,
Craig.
Guys.
All right, there's Craig Hoffman.
I'm floored by that.
I thought that was the thing of the past.
I thought it was over.
We should be talking about that every day.
See you after, buddy. I gotta go to work.
I'm gonna wait till he confirms that before I go crazy, because I, For some reason, I was under the understanding that that was not the case anymore. I feel like at some point I heard that or someone said that to me.
Because it certainly was at one point, right? That's what he wanted
to
do.
Yeah, we all know that that was a thing that happened because they talked about it on a telecast a few years ago. So let's wait and let him do his digging and see what he gets back with.
Oh, man.
Drew Brees broke the all-time record for touchdown passes in a regular season career and went 29 for 30 in the same game, breaking the record for completion percentage in a game with that many attempts. He is outstanding. Where does he rank among all the quarterbacks you've ever seen play in your life? We'll put together our lists. We're curious to know what yours looks like as well at 800-636-1067. We'll do that next. Drew Brees is coming off one of the most memorable starts of his NFL career. We were in New Orleans on Monday Night Football, thanks to our buddy Christian, last year when Drew Brees broke the all-time record for passing yards, surpassing Peyton Manning. Got a nice video from Peyton. Well, he broke another Peyton Manning record, all-time touchdowns in the regular season, on Monday Night Football in New Orleans 2 days ago. In the game, by the way, he went 29 of 30, completed 97% of his passes, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. I'm sure somehow his PFF grade will be like 82 for that game.
I know, right?
You know what I mean?
That's always
like,
so funny.
Like, oh, his Pro Football Focus grade was bad. But
left yards on the field.
Yeah.
But how, by the way, how do you not get a perfect passer rating there? That just reminds me that some of these things we use and these tools, I know that it's about yards per attempt sometimes in there too, that he didn't meet the threshold. If you're above 12, apparently, that's how you get the perfect passer rating or a passer rating point. It just seems comical that when a guy threw 97% completion percentage, 4 touches, 300-some yards, it was like, that was pretty good. Like, come on.
Silly.
Come on.
But this year, he's completing 76% of his passes. He's got 21 touchdowns and 4 picks. He missed 5 games, you may remember, with an injury. New Orleans has a chance to be the number one seed in the NFC. But it brings us to this question. Where do you rank Drew Brees among the quarterbacks you've seen? So we are not going to do the somewhat played out and done many times before rank the quarterbacks all time, .. Johnny Unitas and this guy and that guy. We're not playing that game. These are quarterbacks you've seen in your life that you have watched. Where does Brees come in on your list? Danny, I thought about this, and I put him 4th. What about you?
6th for me.
Sixth.
Still, I mean, amazing. Excellent.
Who do you have ahead of him?
Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and this is where I really debated it. This was the hardest one for me, wrestling back and forth between Marino and Brees. I gave the slight tip, just a slight tip of the cap to Marino to go 5, and Brees is almost 5A. So to me, that's the best equivalent of those two guys. Completely different players, by the way.
Yeah.
Marino with quickness and the arm strength and a ridiculous ability. Brees with the great feet, the accuracy, the anticipation. Different players, but I give Marino a slight edge over Brees.
What was Joe Montana's last year in the NFL? Because Montana predates me. I never watched him play. I'm sure he played while I was alive, but I have no recollection of
94, it. 95 after
was
the
that
at the injury in Kansas City.
So yeah. I would have been basically 5 years old, potentially. 4 or 5.
Right.
Depending on the season, maybe 6. But I never remember him playing.
This is my own fault. That's my weakness, by the way, because with my childhood, no one will ever convince me that anybody's better than that guy. You could use any argument you want, and that's adorable. That guy, to me, was perfect.
Interesting. Okay, I don't have him on my list. Otherwise, our lists are really similar. But you have one other person ahead of Brees other than Montana that I don't have on my list, so we'll figure out who that is. So I've got Peyton Manning 1, Aaron Rodgers 2, Tom Brady 3, and then Drew Brees 4. I considered Brees over Brady, but I just didn't want to deal with all the backlash.
Sure.
And I also think Brees has thrown more kind of bad, what are you thinking, interceptions as well. Makes more of the big mistakes that Brady does not. Brady's exceptional, and I've gone over this many, many times. There, many, many, many years ago, I was annoyed by the idea that people would say, while he was kind of caretaking and not Peyton Manning his way down the field, that he was better than Peyton Manning. I used to root against him, and I've come full circle to the point where now I pull for him. He's having a really bad year, for the record. But he's 59 years old, and
sure,
that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, he has no weapons. So I don't hold that against him. I actually find still pretty impressive what he's able to do with Julian Edelman and you and me and Kill Harry in the red zone. That having been said, I've got Breeze fourth behind Brady, so I'll go Manning, Rodgers, Brady, and Breeze. You've got Montana, and who else ahead of him?
Dan Marino. So you have no Marino file similar.
So, well, right? Here's what I did is I remember Marino, but my recollections of Marino are end of career Marino. Same with Steve Young, by the way. For some reason, though, and I think it's an NFC versus AFC thing, honestly, I have way more vivid Steve Young memories than Dan Marino,
so Young,
which could be two things. One, Steve Young may have had a better last couple of seasons than Marino did. Like, I remember Marino at FedEx Field getting benched or coming out of the game for, like, a Heward to be named later. I think it was, like, Brock or Damon Heward, in a 1999 game or so against the Redskins. I don't know if you remember that at all.
I don't specifically, but
I was at that game. I distinctly remember. And that was, like, the end of the road for Marino. That's my memories of him, was, like, right at the tail end of his career. Same with Steve Young. But if I had to bet, if you looked it up, I'll bet you Young had a better last season or two, because I remember him to, like, Terrell Owens and Garrison Hurst and, like, that pre-Jeff Garcia 49ers team.
Well, remember, Young had those years in the beginning of the 90s, right? So after he took over from Montana, which was an awkward transition, but it happened. So he, his first 7-8 years of his career, he's in Tampa, he's in San Francisco as a backup, just sort of watching the greatest of all time do it. So then he finally gets in. He put up today's numbers then. Mm-hmm. Steve Young did. So if he was
He was also different than all these other guys, because he, I mean, obviously he's not Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick, but, like, he was better version of Brunell.
Yeah.
He was the scrambling, playmaking, mobile, dual threat.
I mean, he was doing the 4,000-yard, 35-touchdown, 6-pick thing in the 90s. People didn't do that.
Like, nobody did that.
So if he got to do that on a good team for his whole career,
yeah, he could be Breeze.
We'd be talking about him as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Agreed. Also, if he did it now, it'd be 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns every year.
That's right.
But I have Marino and Young kind of side by side. Pick whichever one you want. I would put Young over Marino just because of, again, what I saw. Now, I would have a very different list if I went back and studied numbers and went with that type of approach. But just what my eyeballs have seen in my life, me as a scout, I'm going Manning, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, and then Young, Marino, and that's, you know, that's my six, so to speak.
Yeah, so my 5-7 is hard. So Marino 5, Breeze 6, Steve Young 7. If you know, put me in a room under, like, with one of those hot lamps, like I'm being cross-examined and investigated at the police department, and you play good cop, bad cop, I could shuffle up that depending on some highlights, whatever I just saw. But that's kind of my gut feel there. Those three guys are very, very close for me.
Where would you guys put Drew Brees? And again, this is not an all-time quarterback ranking list, right?
Otto Graham.
We could all look up the numbers and the comps to the era and see what we think, right? Johnny Unitas would be high on these lists. You mentioned Otto Graham, who won a million championships. Guys like Roger Staubach and John Elway and Sammy Ball would all get their time in the sun. Of the quarterbacks that you have watched, who would you rank at or above the Breeze level on the list? Interestingly, neither of us had Favre, but we're one of the few radio shows in the country. I think we've always been in lockstep. Favre was more fun and exciting than he was a great quarterback, right? I mean, Favre was, that was like a roller coaster everybody wanted to ride, but he would be toward the bottom, I think, of my top 10.
He just misses my 10, just because I've got a couple extra guys from being a little bit older than you.
Who, do you have anybody currently playing in your top 10 still other than Breeze and Rodgers?
Rodgers, Brady, and Breeze still playing.
Okay, so no, like, Phil Rivers or anybody like that?
No, they miss it for me.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take your calls next. Drew Breeze coming off the best, most memorable night of his career. Where is he ranked on your QB list that you have watched? You're listening to the Fan. In the wake of Drew Brees setting the all-time touchdown passes mark and going 29 of 30 in a game, we decided to see where he ranks on our quarterback lists of the guys we've seen. Mike is in Alexandria to chime in. You can be like Mike and call us at 800-636-1067. What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself, man? Y'all great today.
Appreciate
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Me personally, I like Drew Brees over everybody I've seen, and I've seen a lot.
Wow.
I listened to you guys' top 10. The consistency that Drew Brees has with the lack of talent, his talent pool hasn't been as good as any of the other quarterbacks. Aside from this Michael Thomas guy, and maybe Marcus Colston, who Colston won't be a Hall of Famer or even considered for it. He's just another guy. He's just another guy that Drew Brees was throwing the ball to. But he has been more consistent than anybody. His level of just excellence has sustained longer than anyone's. I was listening to you guys list. One of you guys are really young, but the other guy.
I'm the other guy.
I feel like he left one guy in particular off. I think Dan Fouts kind of ushered in.
You're not old enough for Dan Fouts.
Fouts is a little bit before my time, but my dad speaks reverentially about Fouts.
So,
Fouts,
Mike, I'm 31 and Danny's 40?
40 on the dot.
Yeah. So how old are you?
I'm a little older. I'm 45.
Okay.
Almost 46.
So Fouts is on your list, but otherwise it's kind of similar to Danny's, you're saying?
No, you got a couple of guys on your list that I put Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino kind of the same, and okay, they're both outside of my top five.
Okay.
Now, both of those guys, Aaron Rodgers, he has the tools. His arm is the loudest arm I've probably ever seen. But the consistency and the longevity of Drew Brees it surpasses him to me.
So who's in your top five that's not in ours? Just Fouts?
Okay, no. Just a couple of people. You had, y'all mentioned one, which was Steve Young.
Yep.
Steve Young would definitely be in my top five. He's one of the best quarterbacks ever. He was a very mobile quarterback.
I love Steve Young.
He was amazing.
Steve, and I hated the 49ers. I'm a diehard Redskin. Everybody else I hate.
But I love that.
I can recognize greatness when I see it.
Yeah.
I would put Steve Young, my top five would go Drew Brees, and he just took that over because you couldn't tell me that Tom Brady or Joe Montana weren't the best two. But just because of what he's able to do at the age, you see that game Monday night?
29 of 30. He was killing it. I mean, he was great.
Yeah, he's you're not going to say he's bad.
That
he's
was
incredible.
Like a practice where basically no ball touches the carpet. Mm-hmm. You know, every quarterback wants to have that practice where at the end of the day they can say we didn't throw any incompletions, and you're kind of throwing against air and it's still difficult. That's what he did against an NFL team fighting for its playoff lives in Indianapolis with a couple of Pro Bowlers and an All-Pro in the middle of its linebacking core working against him.
So I would buck slightly again. Again, this is not this. We're picking nits here for top 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all time here, right? But that's what you have to do at this level. These are all
of our time.
Yeah, surefire Hall of Famers, the best we've ever seen, etc. But I would buck against the idea that Drew Brees never had weapons.
I wanted to go back to that.
Yeah, maybe not as dynamic as some other teams, but keep in mind, Jimmy Graham in his prime is 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. Keep in mind that Colston was a weapon like they didn't have.
So I won't use the numbers because I think Brees has played in one of the best offenses ever, but I think that's a big benefit. That is a weapon, so to speak. You know who's a weapon for Drew Brees? It's Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Who's one of the great play callers, one of the great designers, one of the great offensive minds in the history of the NFL. That's a weapon. That's a scheme that helps him put up numbers. I think if you took Brees out of the equation and you put another really good quarterback in, now you couldn't put some awful Jag in. But if you, let's just pick the eighth best quarterback in the NFL over the last few years, that guy's throwing for 4,400 or 4,200 when Brees throws for 46. What is so different about Brees, and the reason for me he's fourth, but for you he's sixth, I'm guessing. He mentioned a couple things he liked about Brees. Brees is maybe the most accurate passer I've ever seen. He puts balls into windows, into the bucket, drops them into spaces along the sideline in ways that there are occasional throws where a quarterback does it and it's the best throw they make in a month, or you go, oh my gosh, that was a dime. I remember a couple sideline throws to like outstretched Pierre Garçon over top of fingertips for Kirk Cousins when I would think that was Brees-like. And it was just this flash, this moment. That's Drew Brees' Sunday six times.
Like he could pause time like Zach Morris and walk the ball out and hand it to a guy. Like that's how accurate it was.
Alvin Kamara is one of the best weapons in the league right now. He's had him for 3 years.
But then historically, remember, he had Darren Sproles when he's getting 110 targets a year for multiple years.
Right.
It doesn't sound like much
check-down
now.
Options.
But that to me is what Sean Payton was. They would unlock that. They'd go, we'll put Sproles in the game. Go ahead and cover him with a linebacker. Go ahead and cover him with a safety. Good luck.
Michael Thomas is going to the Hall of Fame.
He's a badass.
He's going to be the all-time record holder for catches in a season, potentially this weekend. He's only 10 back. And the way that he goes about his business, He could set that in the third quarter.
I was going to say.
But I would also, I mean, Mark Ingram as a running back. Now, that's not a pass catcher as much when he was there. But Ingram was an excellent player in the backfield who took some pressure off him.
Garrett Thomas.
As a pass catching back was okay. Yeah, he was fine.
They would split time. I mean,
I don't know if
huge,
I'm putting him on my weapons list.
I'm saying he had a huge catch in the Super Bowl from Brees. The point is, this wasn't just Drew Brees and the Misfits, right? Like some of the other quarterbacks on our list.
But maybe his point is he did not have some of the same elite every year Pro Bowl types. But sometimes that's by design. Like, people want to give the Patriots and Tom Brady so much credit where they go, oh, well, they never had. First of all, Edelman's better than you give him credit for. Gronk's better than you give him credit for. Troy Brown, better than you give him credit for. Now, you can go through the list. They had Randy Moss when Brady was at his best. Oh, but that was only for a couple years. That's when he had his best numbers ever.
Yeah, 100 touchdowns over 2 years, whatever it was.
But on top of all that, they choose to do it this way. They feel like Chris Hogan, like, is perfect in their system. They look for fits. They don't look for great players, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Antonio Brown there, he's putting up the same numbers as Chris Hogan, potentially.
Yeah, there's no, you know, there's no Marvin Harrison. There's no Jerry Rice or otherwise there. No, like, pure running mate for either Brady or, you know, or for Breeze specifically, where these guys are doing it for a decade together. And they just, you know, make incredible statistical milestones, it seems like, every week together. But to say that he was devoid of weapons, I don't know if I buy that. But that's what's always so fun about this, by the way, is the context matters. You know, kind of what's going on with the team matters. So for some people, they're going to hold it against Marino that he never won a Super Bowl, that his teams weren't that good. He never had a semblance of a running game or defense. It was, hey, Dan, what it for us this week? You know, you look at Jim Kelly, for example, a guy that makes my list. He's 10th on my list. He's calling his own plays, getting everybody to the line of scrimmage, doing everything under the sun with the K-gun, an innovation that you know, still has some ramifications today. Think about what didn't happen back then was no one lined up out of the shotgun, and certainly nobody ran it out of the shotgun. Well, the Bills did that. They figured out that that was the best way to go about it and went to multiple Super Bowls in a row. Kelly was amazing, but nobody thinks about him in the same way.
Brees, and probably because he threw the ball so much. Like, he threw the ball 1 year 673 times.
That's a lot.
But he's always thrown a lot of interceptions, too. Like, I'd be willing to bet he's got 237 career picks. I haven't looked, but I'll bet he's probably second to Brett Favre or high on that list as well. Whereas there are guys like Rodgers, never throws picks, still throws touchdowns. Brady, never throws picks, still throws touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That made fewer mistakes, which is maybe the only thing working against him. And remember about Brees, too. He was almost, we thought, done a couple years ago with his shoulder, whatever that was.
Yeah.
I think he was around 37, 38, and people said it was the end of the road. Now he's 40. He turns 41 in a couple weeks, and I think he could still play for another two or
the way that he
I don't
plays,
know about three, but
yeah,
maybe 2 years, especially if their offense became super short and intermediate.
His game is not based on arm strength.
No.
So you could play longer.
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We will get you a Beltway Blitz today at noon and at 12:18. Let's get into the current playoff matchups and seeding in the NFL. What would be the best and worst playoff games if the postseason in the NFL started this weekend? We'll tell you on G&D next hour. It is 11:45, which means it's time for our double play. We'll get it to you in just a moment here on Grant and Danny. In 1 hour, Gil Brandt, Pro Football Hall of Famer, legendary analyst, longtime executive in the National Football League, is stopping by the show for the first time. Danny, by the way, you missed this during the break, but five-star Dar is fired up. Apparently, Mike Locksley just flipped one of the top wide receivers in the country.
Oh!
From LSU to the University of Maryland.
Who's going
to
throw him the ball?
Rakeem Jarrett, who went to high school at St. John's College High in the big city. Here
that's where
DC.
Dar went. Did you have a hand in that recruiting process?
I'd like to say I did.
But
my guy,
I just
Jarrett.
Asked them, I said, why on earth would this young man, and congratulations to him staying home, going to Maryland.
Sure, he's a key debt.
Congrats to Mike Locksley and to all Terps fans like Dar who are feeling themselves.
Mm.
Why would this youngster say no to LSU?
I don't know.
Which is where he was going to go.
Uh-huh.
He apparently visited Maryland's campus during the LSU-Georgia SEC final when LSU absolutely embarrassed Georgia. And he said, you know what? That's not really for me. I love what's going on here at Maryland. I guess he just really wants to be home.
I did.
clicked his heels three times.
You never know. I mean, you never know what's going on in a kid's mind. You never know what he wants to stay close to.
Well, they were like, oh, Burrow's leaving. You know, the quarterback situation's in flux. I'll be willing to bet whoever LSU's quarterback is next year is better than – is Piggy going to be back for his ninth season?
The middle linebacker that's taking snaps.
I'll take the field right now. I'll take the field before you change your mind.
Take the field.
Okay. So you have LSU.
They're going to have a safety starting at quarterback in week six. That's what they do.
Name your price.
At Maryland, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
This is what's going to happen. They'll have eight guys start games. Two of them will play on defense twice.
Yep, we can't have nice things.
But this guy's going there. So you have this. This is a nice thing.
They're just going to have to start running, like, option with him at, you know, fake quarterback.
Well, you look at but even with LSU when they had no quarterbacking at all. Like, if they're basically what Miami was in the early 2000s.
Who was Beckham's quarterback? Who was Landry's quarterback?
That's where I was going. Like, the number of guys that just come out of there, you go, well, that guy went to LSU and caught eight passes, but he's an NFL superstar.
Look at DJ Chark's college numbers. Right. I don't think he was great. I remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl going, who the hell is this? And thinking he was awesome. He's become a legit
He's a stud.
Quality NFL wide receiver in Jacksonville. One of them a factory. The other is churned out Stephon Diggs.
That time. What about E.J. Henderson that time? He played in the NFL.
I'm just talking about wide receivers.
I know.
Wide receiver factory.
I'm doing bits.
Stephon Diggs. Although D.J. Moore, I guess I should point out.
D.J. Moore.
He's fine with the Panthers.
Actually, really good season this year, by the way.
Number three in the NFL in receiving yards.
Give me another Maryland wideout in the league. There's got to be one
Darius
I'm forgetting.
Darius Heyward-Bey.
D.H.B.
Is he still in the league?
Not anymore, I don't think. But
he
was in the league
last year. He was?
Long enough. He had long enough. He qualifies. So they've had three recent NFL wide
receivers. Legit pass catchers.
Did you think, was this a Maryland, like on the message boards that you're on, was this a thing that was supposed to happen?
It was like a thing that could possibly happen. This is a longest, long shot thing that could possibly happen.
Nice.
Like a 3% chance that it happens.
This is Coach O's first loss in a long, long time.
Just a lock emoji on everybody's Twitter account for a couple days here, right? People are excited.
Five-star Dar. You got to crank up the Maryland podcast again. You got to get this out to the people. Big news.
I'm so steamed up.
Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
I haven't finished the season yet, GP, but it's an interesting show. It is a Amazon Prime program, The Marvelous Miss Maisel. Are you familiar with this program at all?
I have heard a lot of people talk about it generally right around or during award shows. That's the extent of my knowledge.
I don't know how you'd feel about it. I really don't. So the early couple of episodes, it starts to feel like a musical, which is more your alley and way less my alley. I want musicals to die. They all suck. They're stupid. No one should do them, and everyone that likes them is wrong. But it graduates from that into a really interesting, unique television program. And the basic premise, no spoilers here, you've got a New York Jewish couple where the wife supports her husband's stand-up comedy side habit. It doesn't go great, so she becomes a stand-up comic, and she's really good at it for the time, right? So the writing kind of reflects that, and her parents and his parents, and there's a whole relationship complication, and it's a mess. And they got to find stuff for her to do besides, you know, going on stage every night and whatever. So they've got some drama and other things that are involved in it. It's really grown on me. It's an interesting show, and it's different than almost anything else out there, and that's what I give it a lot of credit for. So I'm three quarters of the way through season three. It just doesn't live up to that first season where, you know, she's just struggling to get stage time, struggling to get seen, and, well, now she's kind of graduated to, like, the next level of fame and stand-up comedy, and she's opening for a musical act, and there's a couple different things. It's not as good, but I'll tell you, it's interesting, and it's different, and I like that. I like that we can have these sorts of programs. It's not just somebody goes jogging in the first 3 minutes, they're dead, and we, you know, have a guy standing over them being like, that's the last brisk jog he'll ever take. Yeah! You know, like in stupid shows about hospitals and doctors arguing with each other. It's not the formulaic crap that we're used to, so I give people credit for that. Overall, I think this show is probably a 7 out of 10 carbohydrates, but there are some really interesting, funny, genuine, heartfelt moments that I like. It's a decent buy recommendation. That's what I got for you.
I'll start my double play here in a second, but I'm going to do church style. I've got some announcements to make.
Oh, good.
The canned food drive starts on Thursday, that kind of bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's my announcement. First of all, Nick Sundberg was on Good Morning Football today and is in the running for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Nick Sundberg's done so much great work in the community here in D.C. He's got a charity that he started called Loads of Love, LOL, where they go to all the schools in the area and try to set up washer-dryer situations for the students at the school, because I never knew about this, but his wife, Floor, at one point did some research, and essentially a lot of kids can't clean their clothes and go to school with dirty clothes, and either, you know, because the clothes are visibly dirty or smell bad, leads to bullying occasionally, leads to all kinds of issues where these kids don't actually do the schoolwork
follow
that they're supposed
school,
to.
Yeah.
They don't either show up for classes, or they don't take school as seriously, or they feel like, you know, they've failed before it started. So there's a lot of studies that have been done in a lot of communities where basically if you have clean clothes, you do better in school and you are more successful. And so Nick Sundberg is trying to make it so that as many kids in this area that want to go to school with clean clothes can. So I think it's an amazing thing.
It's awesome.
They're setting all these schools up to be able to do this, and it's just genius, and he deserves a lot of credit. But he was on Good Morning Football today to talk about his candidacy for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Every team has one rep, 32 different players vying for the prize. So good luck to him. There's a video on Twitter of him yesterday that came out, and he walks out of his house, like onto his back deck, and birds just start flying and landing on his shoulder.
It's like Sound of Music type crap.
And I've never seen anything like this. I don't really know how they trained or got these birds to do this. Frankly, I think it's kind of gross because he's in a tank top, and they're like, their dirty feet are just like on his shoulder.
Digging their dirt feet into his body.
And I've always just been told birds are really dirty. But, like, they're on his head, and he looks like the lady in Home Alone 2 in New York, where, like, he just has seeds all over himself, and they're all landing on him. So if you haven't seen that video, I tweeted it out at Grant H. Paulson. You can check it out. It's pretty crazy. I'm sure they showed it on his TV interview.
That's among the last animals I'd want to touch me.
Yes.
You know? Like, it's a long list.
I'm out on birds.
I don't want anything to touch me, but, like, that's high.
I have my interest, I'm an animal guy. Love animals. Love going to PetSmart and just looking at the animals as a kid. Take the baby now when I'm near, and I'll just hold her up and say, like, oh, this is a rabbit. Oh, this is a chinchilla. Yeah. Oh, this is whatever it is. So out, we'll walk right past the birds every time.
Yeah, birds.
Can't do it. Can't have it. Can't coach with them.
Can't do it.
My other announcement, Torrey Smith, we forgot.
Torrey Smith.
The Fredericksburg native who played at Maryland, who had a good NFL career with the Ravens and 49ers and some other teams, Carolina Panthers, I think. Torrey Smith, a Terp. We did not mention him in our wide receiver category. And finally, for my double play here, Danny.
Mm-hmm. Good announcements by you, by the way.
Thank you. There it is. The canned food drive is on Thursday.
Please bring in a non-perishable item.
Brenda will collect the cans. You know where she sits. She's in the back on the left. Brenda, please stand up.
Hi, Brenda.
Round of applause for Brenda, for volunteering to take the cans today. Anyways, I'm going to the mall tonight.
Which mall?
It's December 18th. And I'm going to the mall tonight. Wish me
luck. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
It didn't quite register. I'm doing a little. I'm hoping to finish my shopping tonight. I'm hoping. I don't know for sure if I'll be able to.
Oh, dear.
It's one of those rare midweek non-cap situations.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I'm going to be at the mall on December 18th.
With no real idea of what you're doing.
Right. I'm not going in with a game plan. I'm just kind of wandering around until I bump into stuff I like.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be.
You're just doing the mall wander.
It's going to be fun. So wish me some good luck.
I mean, you don't know any idea, like, what stores you want to hit?
I got one gift I know that I'm a heat-seeking missile to pick up that I know where that is.
Do you do that first or last?
I'm doing that first.
Just to feel good, to, like, get a base hit out of the way?
If nothing else works out for an hour and a half, it was a productive trip.
You did do that. Okay.
And then after that, I'm kind of going where the momentum of the mall takes me.
Do you have, like, are you going to have, like, a little notepad of names written down?
I want to get a couple of notes jotted down beforehand. I certainly am going to try to do that. I can't guarantee it because I'm kind of a spur-of-the-moment cat.
Because what I would do is I'll keep it all in my head, and then I'll go to one store and be like, oh, what about my brother? Oh, what about my brother-in-law? What about my sister? And then I'll forget.
I did some online shopping, but here's my issue. Mm-hmm. If I don't do all the shopping online, it's just more confusing and more overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's like, I got this for this person. We're good. I did that. Oh, but that hasn't shipped yet. That's supposed to get here on the 23rd. It's too much. Like, I almost would rather just do no online shopping and go to the mall and knock it all out at once, or do no mall shopping, knock it all out in, like, November online.
I hear that. One tiny suggestion to make this more seamless.
Yeah.
keep the emails that come in that tell you what you've bought. Because you delete every email every day, and you have nothing in your email inbox.
I can't do that. I have to delete them.
But hear me out.
I could build a folder that says Christmas gifts, yes, and then just trying to drag them in there.
One of those. I like to do tags, but you could do a folder.
See, you're doing shtick. It's not that I don't know what I've bought. I can remember what I've bought.
I don't know what I bought.
Okay, but that's fine. I don't like that you don't remember what you bought, but you're going to remember.
A lot of people.
I can remember everything I bought. The problem is the some has shipped and some hasn't. Some will get here today. Some will get here on the 23rd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if it doesn't come? Then do I get someone a backup present just in case?
Is it a card saying a present's coming?
See what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. It's hard to be organized.
Beltway Blitz at noon. Gilbrandt at 12:45. And we're looking at the NFL playoff matchups as currently constructed on Grant and Danny in just a bit.
Hated. Go see my guys at Ted Burford. The Built for the Holidays sales event is happening right meow at Ted Burford. So every single day, this is on the Tom Daly, okay? And what you get is this. Confidence for life from Ted Burford. Ted Burford for life means confidence for life. That's powertrain. It's all covered. Service loaners, battery replacements, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. Prices that can't be beat, and the best selection of new Fords and two first-class service facilities in Fairfax and Chantilly. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's every day. This is not even the holiday event, not even the special sale. I'm talking about what's normal. This is the standard operating procedure, SOP, as they say, right? You add in some of the sales event stuff going on now. No payments for 60 days on pretty much everything on the lot. Then you pay them a lot less when it is time to pay. How about $17,400 below MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck? That's an amazing deal. $14,900 off the MSRP on an F-250 SD. $10,800 off a 2019 Ranger. You get the point of the dude's story. Great deals. You don't pay them anything. They take care of you for life. That's why. Go see my guys at Ted Burford.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.